There are many different rites of passage in many different places in all societies. And so, too, even amongst the drones of Praxis Mimetics, there are certain rituals, rites of passage, tests that must be performed. And, well, our Huntress drones have quite an interesting one that they must undergo. You see, a Huntress drone is not like many drones you may have seen before. No, they are augmented, given great strength and power to retrieve new assets for conversion without destroying or damaging them. In other words to say, they are capable at hunting down humans without killing them. So, what is it that we ask of these drones? Well, of course, to be a great hunter, one must understand being the prey. And oftentimes a hunter's drone must take someone who is guarded, protected, and so they themselves must be hunted while they do their duties. And after all, being the sort of company that straddles several dimensions, we've encountered everything from, well, classical high magic to magical girls. Which means you really do have to be prepared for anything. So this ritual has evolved. Even got the occult research division involved for a bit. You might wonder, oh, such complexities, just to get someone ready to be a glorified bounty hunter. But what if your target is, as stated, a magical girl or some wielder of great power? How would a technological being handle such a thing? Well, that's why we test. That's why we show them what to expect. After all, we only want the best. So every Huntress drone must undergo this ritual, this test, this thing that pulls them into the hunt, shows them what it is to be the prey and the predator, teaches them the way to fight, to hunt, to evade capture, to be as swift as they can be, to see all around them without looking, to know which turn is right, which step they should take in the night, to drift and make and break themselves down into just the simplest of things, a creature sprung like steel spring, bounding apart from all which they have started with. The expectation is simple, that they become one with the hunt and the hunt becomes one with them. Else, how would they survive in Perkta's forest? How would they survive the wild hunt and steal the prize from her? The prize of a beautiful young maiden. Certainly they would not wish to fall and become prey themselves. And you would not wish to fall, for else you might become prey yourself. And if you were to fall, I'm sure it would be easy to stall out those thoughts, sink beneath the surface, slip down into the story, and find yourself lost before you even realize you were holding anything at all. Except for your own fall. A simple enough request, easy to comply with, totally at one's behest. A dream world spanning out, the phantasmagorical. A dance where one trips the light fantastic and moves across the paths of time and space to a different place. A ritual, an offering, a chance to prove that you are the best. That you're not just some prey. Oh no, you're strong. You can feel that from the augmentations, the programming. The suiting, the armor, the gear, each huntress an embodiment of the powerful creature that they should be. We have many sorts. Manticores, hydras, kitsunes, all mythical beasts, yes. But also an embodiment of power fused with what was once human, to give them augmentations that make them more capable, just like you will be, after you prove yourself here today. After you survive in the sunken forest deep beneath the surface. Even now, as you sit in the pod high above. Even now, knowing that you must find the prey and bring her back. All the while, Valkyries, Perkta, monsters, creatures, hunt, stalking the forest below. Ancient crystalline trees waving in winds unseen, time and space take no meaning here. The moon is eternal when there is no light. Darkness is not the type of night that waits beneath the surface here, no. What waits instead is weightlessness. The pod lurching and falling, the restraints holding you in place, plummeting down the chute, momentum picking up as you feel yourself sinking into the cool, faint moisture of an endless shaft. Down, 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 air rushing around you as you plummet further still, hearing the whistle past the container, squirming anxiety, neediness, a wanting, a feeling like being caught in the hand, a desire to run madly into the distance. A need, yes, but a burning fear to address. What it is to be hunted, what it is to be the hunter, all the same. Adrenaline has a way of picking up in one's brain. Even now, as the pod's brakes begin to slow you, even now, as you hear the air begin to just crackle with the intensity, and then it's open, spilling out into the cavern, the floor, an endless expanse of cracked, rocky structures, trees made from ancient stones, stalagmites and stalactites all across the space, a cavern that spans so high, you could swear you see the moon itself rising in the distance, pale light casting a baleful glare on the land beneath, crystalline leaves tinkling and blowing in winds unheard. Light cascading through them in faint sparkles, all the colors of the rainbow. And the howls of animals. You better not wait. You better not take too long. You'd better get running right now. After all, this is your one chance. Even as you begin to pick up speed, your mechanically enhanced form sprinting forth, you're already taking in everything, listening to every little sound, trying to understand what's all around you, mechanically augmented, easily flowing each stride and step, knowing the next placement, observing everything, bounding from treetop to ground, moving like a liquid bolt of lightning, coursing from the easiest point of contact to the next. You catch the glimpse of your first beast, an eight-legged horse-like steed, galloping through the forest, no rider, eyes glowing red, teeth that of a carnivore, a creature horrific. You bound past it, easily gliding overhead, even as it leaps, trying to bite at you. And you're gone before it can turn again to stride after you, the clattering of its unearthly hooves sliding to a stop. And so you continue deeper into the great cavern, its rolling hills, its undulating, unearthly, preternatural world spreading out before you, witnessing things that you had never believed possible. A drone should not be confronted with something so different, you mutter to your mind, to your thoughts, to yourself, and yet here you are running through the madness. Even as you hear a trumpet, a bugle blown in the distance, a faint sound of a horn, for she is coming, her entourage and her, making their way out into the hunt. You catch your first trace of the fair maiden. A gossamer strand of a gown caught on a jagged branch. A faintest trickle of blood. An easy thing to lock onto using those advanced sensors. You're already beginning to pick up the faint scent trail, knowing where she might have wandered. It's impressive to think that she's survived here. And yet you know, impressed or not, she'll be coming home, wrapped up, inside of one of those delightful little specimen bags you're carrying on your back, the kind that roll someone up in latex sheets, grab them and grip them so tight, to make them into an easily stored bundle on one's back. But that's inconsequential now, as you can hear the hunters in the distance. The clattering of 1,000 feet. And yet, you continue deeper still. Bounding strides, bringing you to a clearing, a pool reflecting the ghastly moonlight above. The water so still that it almost looks like ice for a moment. Its depths filled with glittering gems and crystals, sending all the light beneath the surface cast it apart into countless little shimmering flickers of light. That's when you catch sight of your first hunter, a beautiful and angelic, almost ghostly figure, dressed in ancient clothes, chasing across the rocks beneath, feet hardly touching the ground, moving so swiftly and now so quietly. You only saw her because you look everywhere, even into the silent darknesses around you. She carries an old bow, well-loved and cared for, hands certainly not delicate, but such poise as she knocks her first arrow and lets it fly after you. You deftly dodge it, and so the dance begins across the treetops, the first Valkyrie finding you. Her grin, that of pleasure, a focus of grim determination. Arrows knocked and fly loose. The dance takes you further. And so you flee, because to fight her would waste time. You simply have to monitor and watch out for every arrow to keep track of their ghastly apparitions, the monsters beneath, the creatures around, the faint rustle of a wind gusting behind you. Eventually you lose her, but as you do, you catch sight of a figure wrapped in white robes and linens, standing amidst a thicket of brush-like growth. Horns growing from her head, beautiful and youthful, but strange proportions, just a little too long, just a little too odd, yet so gorgeous, it's hard to look away. Is she the maiden to be hunted? As you grow closer, you can see that her gown is certainly ripped in some places. Her bare feet standing there on the rocks look as though they've certainly been running across them. You plan your attack. You're ready to swoop in. And as you leap forth, she turns. Face calm, placid, only the faintest wry smile slipping onto her lips. As you leap forward to capture her, grab her, and take her down, she deftly slips to the side, her motion making her disappear in a blur as one hand catches you and slams you into the ground, her grin turning feral, hungry, as with great strength she pins you there, mounting you, mused by your failed attempt. She straddles your body, pinning you to the rocks beneath. My, but you are an eager one, aren't you? You really should get a better look before you dive in. I don't recall your prey having horns, my dear. And to think you would try such a foolish thing. Sweet little creature, I understand that mistakes happen, and that you certainly are no different than all the other hunters that dared to take me. But truly, just because you have the boldness to try doesn't mean I'm not going to take you myself. Your heart pounds, the realization of who it is that holds you now, the goddess herself, licking her lips and contemplating just how she intends to take you apart. Tracing her fingers across your cheek, brushing them down the side of the suit that encapsulates your body, you notice how sharpened her fingernails are, like claws. Even now, as that feral, hungry grin eyes you, she brushes down, down, down. You squirm, trying to get out from underneath her, but it's like trying to move a mountain. She weighs far more than anyone her size reasonably could. It's a most unfortunate place to be caught. A dreadful one, to be sure. But there's nothing you're going to do to get out. Little morsel. Her teeth gleam in the moonlight. Sharp, hungry, and feral. She eyes you with great pleasure in her eyes. My, my. But I must resist taking a bite of you, when clearly I would enjoy you in other ways. Her teeth brush against the side of your neck, a gentle nibble, leaving that faint tingling of fear. That's it, my tasty little morsel, my delicious little treat. You quiver and twitch as her claws rip armored components carefully from you, casting them aside, leaving you bare, as she traces runes onto your body, starting from high up and working down, nipping and biting occasionally, her sharp teeth never drawing more than the faintest drop of blood. A taste of you. A taste of her, the smell of something, something growing closer as your mind drifts further. You know that you are doomed to be a part of whatever place she wishes you, whatever role she gives you, her claws tickling your thoughts away, the runes traced across your skin glowing with a tender energy that pulses at first, a trickling of pleasure that works its way into one's soul from the edges of consciousness. A mindlessness that has a way of breaking one's walls into pieces, of shattering all the things that you are, of leaving nothing behind but a mindless break in time and space. Your thoughts falling, splintering, noticing yourself becoming ghostly, feeling light piercing your essence, your thoughts erased underneath the moonlight, that smile piercing the veil of one's mind until all you can see is the grin, the feral hunger, the wolf in the night. Even now as she bites and claws, even now as she works you over, there is a grin, a hunger that fills you up. Oh, the pleasure of being her dog, her hunter. Oh, the joy that it would be to be on the leash that she holds. Oh, the desires that you would give into to just get down and submit to her, to be her loyal hunter, to join in the eternal dance. To be chained here, yes. You have no purpose beyond that, my sweet little huntress. My sweet little hunter. my sweet creature. To be chained so is a pleasure, isn't it? To be taken and remade is exactly what you need. That grin, that glow, that loss, drift, fall, plummet. Let me take you and remake you so you can dance between the trees. So that you can be exactly what I want. And so one drifts, one falls, one sinks, one slips, one drips and drops below. Nothing left, just an empty space, in time without place, nowhere to go except into the wild hunt. Drifting now for me, letting go and taking the memories, feeling the presence of body that you had before, allowing yourself to slip beyond that mental door. Bit by bit, heading up, up, up. Allowing your mind to become more focused on the time and place you're occupying now. Stretch your body. Move it. Allow yourself to be there once more. One, drifting up. Two, more and more. Three, and four, and five, and six, and seven, and eight, and nine, and ten. Wide awake. There we go. Thank you so very much for listening.